Welcome to the symposium on assessing the interaction between the health and transportation among seniors. Today we have a number of very interesting interlocking papers and presentations on a project that we've done over the past few years. And presentation for today that I'm doing right now is to provide you some background information as to how this came about and some of the methodology and issues that we developed in order to address certain concerns and design. And once you have that kind of foundation, the rest of the papers will springboard from that to actually talking about how they approach the same topic. I'm Tom Prohaska, and there's no conflicts here whatsoever that I'm aware of. The symposium. Well, first of all, we're going to really back up and talk about what is non-emergency medical transportation and talk about how important it is and the significance of this topic to public health. And then we're going to talk about LogistiCare, which I'll go into considerable detail, and about brokered service that provides transportation for individuals who are in need of medical transportation. And then finally, there'll be a number of selected presentations on the topic. And there are many more than what we could possibly cover here. And one is an actual paper, a poster presentation. So we do have materials here. This is also completely completed and it's on the website, and we'll give some website information for some products. And also does not include a comprehensive literature review that we did of the transportation and aging and health that requires a symposium in itself. So we're going to look at missed or delayed medical care appointments and issues associated with it. And then need versus use of, if I use NEMT, you all know what that means now, so use of that. And looking at how extensive it is and how important it is to older adults in particular compared to other aged individuals. And then we're going to talk about utilization and urban-rural differences. The word cost is here. Cost is implied in some of the work rather than actually do cost analysis, but we do have papers going on that also. First of all, it has been funded by a number of sources, and we have to acknowledge all of the partners here. It was funded by the Federal Transit Administration of the Department of Transportation through two cooperative agreements. The first is one with EASTRSEALS, or the EASTRSEALS Project Action. The other one is with EASTRSEALS and the National Association of the Area Agencies on Aging and the National Center for Senior Transportation. You see why we need more than one slide to talk about the relationships. We did have some very important critical organizational partners that contributed to the success of this, and we wanted to acknowledge that. First, Mary Leary, who is our not only our project officer, she was an active member and contributed to, frankly, the quality of our work. She held our hands to the fire, and we responded accordingly. And we could not have done this without Ken Hogart and his LogistiCare Corporation, the group. And Ken represented more than just someone who provided data. He actually played a central role in helping us through this. And it was pretty important for you to recognize that this is the first time this had been done. This data set had been existed for quite a while, but it was never thought of as a research instrument or a research data source, and we explored that possibility through a small pilot grant. And once we showed that it was feasible, we were then given the money to really see what was possible from that. And from that, we concluded that it has amazing value for understanding the health and transportation interaction. And then, by all means, the American Medical Association with Dr. Cheryl Limiter here in the back was also a partner through the AMA, who actually had some very important and critical questions of their own, and most importantly, missed appointments and the consequences of that to the older adult population. One of the things that's of interest is that we have several universities here who represent the CDC Healthy Aging Research Network, at least three of the partners, and it was a partnership with the CDC that we did this, and they are an important framework for how we approach a number of different topic areas. Now, I was at the University of Illinois at Chicago when this was funded, and now I'm at the George Mason University, and they're my partners there. Similarly, we have the University of California, Berkeley, who we had been partnering with William Satriano, but David Raglan and Kara here were added to our group, and they were critical for leading some of the most important analyses that you'll be seeing. And then Texas A&M was where Matthew Smith started with, and he has since moved also, and he's at Georgia, University of Georgia. Okay. We don't have to go through a lot of the significance on the importance of transportation, but I'll give you some background. It's a critical component to maintaining the health and the well-being of older adults. Without such services, older adults would really be compromised, not only in their physical health, but their mental health and well-being. And among these, but not minor, is their access to critical care. How often have we looked at access to care without taking into account transportation? So the lack of access to non-emergency medical care is really a critical barrier to the management of chronic illnesses and disabilities, which is the major function of the healthcare system for older adults is managing these individuals with chronic conditions. While the aging baby boomer generation will present significant demand to this system for transportation, and we recognize the importance of these kinds of services. And if you didn't know better, you should. The prevalence of chronic illnesses alone, based on the epidemiology of the situation, would suggest that such a service would be required. And the increased focus on self-care with chronic illnesses and management and the individual as a partner with the healthcare system is part of that whole scenario. So clearly research is needed to understand the role of transportation in this larger venue of healthcare and community-based health. For older adults and their well-being, especially in the context of proving access to non-emergency medical care. So what am I doing with this brief presentation is just to give you a sense of the role of transportation in obtaining access to NEMT, but I'm also examining the role of transportation access on health and healthcare use among community-residing older adults. Okay, we had a number of questions that guided our analysis of the data. We were given marching orders to see who was using it, what types of rides they used, and you can see the other questions there. Probably one of the more important question is how efficiently are they able to get to and from the healthcare service, and what is the nature of the healthcare presenting healthcare problem that generated these service use. So. Now on to logistic care solutions. Logistic care really is a transportation management company with operation centers nationwide. NEMT brokered services are by either the county level or state level or other regional patterns. What happens is these services are contracted by state governments or private managed groups in order to ensure that individuals who are eligible take advantage of this transportation source and truly need it. And then the technology leader, they're a technology leader in the NEMT industry. You're the largest group, aren't you, Ken, in the country on that? Give sense of the volume and the size of this, 2,000-plus employees, 31 offices, and if you look, over 26 million annual trips. So it is a significant element of the aging and healthcare system. That alone suggests that it's a public health issue, if there's anything, had anyone had any doubts with that. Give you a sense of where they have services. You see the blue and green states in which they have some sort of footprint, either statewide or in total or in part. So it's quite evident that it's a very viable and a sizable proportion of non-emergency medical brokered services. Okay. Logistic Care provided data set. It's important for you to recognize that this data set was not originally intended for the purposes of research, but for accountability of the services and the nature of the services and documenting that they occurred. We were challenged with the opportunity, frankly, it was a nice opportunity, to see if it had some utility for understanding health and well-being of older adults, broadly speaking. And we took the challenge and explored the data set, and that's why we're here today. So it does contain our critical information on the relevant trips and the nature of the trips, the origin, the destination, the time, and what have you. It has basic membership data, and it includes limited information to assure that trips and medical necessity and appropriate services were provided. We do also have information on the primary nature of the trip. Now, these are the primary. Obviously, people have multiple chronic conditions, so that's not necessarily incorporated in this piece. But it's critical to see some of the patterns we see on chronic conditions. It does contain membership data and medical treatment data, but we were critically we were in a critical period that we didn't want to have to deal with IRB issues. So what we did was kept human subject identification out of this and got permission to use the data sets that way. And we did have IRB approval for that component of it. Now, in terms of the selection of the states, we found that there were five states that had significant data over a period of time of interest that we wanted, and we had five states that had the coverage was within the entire state, and we wanted to do a whole statewide analysis. So from that, we decided to pick two states. Given the complexity of the data, we started with the smallest state possible, Delaware. And within that, we really became quite capable of understanding what the potential data was for that data set. And then we added Oklahoma. Eventually, we will be adding one more state, Virginia, to give a good demographic perspective of this. But we have some very profound findings we're going to show you about this service and the nature of health and health care of older adults. To give you a background information that all of these presentations have, except for David's, yours is a little broader in your presentation, is the sense of the population. You do see total users there for Delaware as being 2,400, and you see 6,804 for Oklahoma. You'll also see some very noticeable relative proportions of individuals of various ages using the service, and as you already probably figured out, older adults are disproportionately higher users than other age groups, which is something that we see as a recurring pattern. With that, I'd like to go ahead and, with that background, go ahead and introduce the first presentation.